Steve Dale here with a special version of our Petcast on WGN with a very special person who's done so much for cats, the founder of Give Them 10, Deborah Cribbs. Welcome to Chicago. Welcome to WGN. Cats everywhere all over the country. We'll talk about that. What is Give Them 10?
Well, Steve, thank you first for having me here today. I love Chicago. It's a beautiful day. Cats have 9 lives, right?
Oh, maybe not. Maybe
give
one more.
Give them 10. That's what it comes from.
I love that idea. And this really is all based in the fact that spay-neuter, hard to believe for those of us who have been talking about it for decades, is still an issue for cats. And there is still a kitten season.
There is absolutely a kitten season, Steve, and it is upon us right now. And at that time, all of our shelters get a little overwhelmed with mamas and kittens. So my group, we do everything we can to help people understand exactly, and that's a great example, what to do if you come upon kittens out on the street, in a yard, a mama and kittens. What do you do?
All right, so let's talk about that. So you're walking down the street, and no matter where you live in America, no matter where you live in the world, this is something that is not unlikely to happen. So you see a litter of kittens. You may see mama, you may not. One thinking is that you just ignore the kittens because mama's going to come back, and if you go near the kittens, mama won't come back. Tell me about that.
Best advice, make note that there are kittens. Look around for mama. If you can, wait and make sure she comes back. If everybody looks healthy and secure, let them be where they are. If you can feed mama, if maybe she needs to be fed or helped in that way, by all means. But never kitten nap, unless the kittens look to be in peril or mama, you just really don't think she's around anymore.
You kind of know, for whatever reason, however you know it, that mama is gone for any number of reasons. Now, that would be a different story.
Yes.
But are we doing, so I go back, I was on the board of a cat shelter where I live in Chicago, and this was many years ago. I want to make a point of that. This shelter, hopefully no shelter would do this today, but there are still shelters that do. Take in any cat that's outdoors. Try to, quote, unquote, rehab that not-so-socialized cat. Then try to adopt out the cat. Or well-meaning cat lovers want to take that cat that's always been outdoors and bring that cat indoors. Can you talk about that?
Probably not a best practice. You're right. Thinking has evolved. And I would say our live release rates nationally are better for it, meaning the percentage of cats that actually have a live outcome if they enter a shelter. Honestly, Steve, we don't want cats to enter the shelter at all. The name of the game is to keep them out of the shelter and divert them. But to your point, kittens are better with mama. She knows how to take care of them. Now, when they are weaned and running around, let's engage a shelter then. That's fine. See if we can get those. Let's get mama fixed first and foremost. Let's get those kittens fixed and let's get the kittens adopted. Now to your next point, mama's a healthy cat, not socialized, and she lives very well in a neighborhood somewhere. If she appears visually healthy, chances are she's thriving. There's really not a need to take up another space in a shelter with a healthy cat. Just make sure she's fixed. And that's where the shelters come in. And boy, in Chicago, you've got some really great ones.
We do. And we have lots of programs where today, it wasn't that way at 15 years ago, but today it is a good thing if you participate with an animal shelter. They will help you, many of them. They will give you the carriers or crates, and you could put tuna inside or whatever, and you can catch these cats, bring them in to be spay-neutered, but then for the unsocialized cats to go right back where they were. However, for little kittens, can they be then adopted?
Yes. The younger you get them, certainly within a couple weeks of being weaned and running around mama, getting ready to launch, those kittens can be socialized. And your really good shelters here in Chicago certainly know how to do that. I hail from Cincinnati, of course, and our really good shelters also know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So don't kitten nap, but also don't bring a healthy cat into a shelter, especially if they're not socialized, except to be spay-neutered.
Right, and that's what I want to talk about with you. So one would think that everyone is spay-neutering their cat or cats. And that's not exactly true, is it?
No, I mean, there's still some old myths that boy cats lose their machismo if they're neutered. I mean, that really is a myth. The fact of the matter is we don't want cats running around on the street unhealthy and unfixed. That's not good for anyone. It's not good for humans. It's not good for the cats. But the things humans can do, if you see a colony of cats or a cat in your neighborhood, take a look. If they have a little tip off of their ear, so ear tipped, mm-hmm. that means they've been fixed. Leave the cat there. They're happy and healthy where they are. Dogs, no. Cats, yes.
So I was with, years ago, and I know you know this, an organization loosely called Fixed by Five, and it was all about supporting and promoting the fact that cats can be healthy and should be, in fact, spay-neutered. It's called pediatric spay-neuter at that very young age. We're not talking about 5 years. We're talking about
5 months.
Yeah.
And I'll go even further. The best practice nowadays in the shelter environment is 2 pounds,
right,
which may indeed be younger than 5 months. But let's talk about pet cats, cats that are in your home or running around in your yard. 5 months. Why? Because they can actually get pregnant soon after. Let's make sure that doesn't happen.
And when cats get pregnant, they get pregnant again.
Yes.
And again.
And again.
And again. So they're induced ovulators, if I remember my biology correctly.
Good one.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know where I pulled that out
of. Very good one.
But that means they, once they're done doing what they do and give birth, they're ready to do it all over again. Not too different than rabbits, actually.
She goes right back into heat. It's a true thing. And you know something that I've always gotten wide-eyed surprise looks when I talk about? You are a well-meaning neighborhood person, and you start feeding a cat that finds you and comes to your door. I'm not going to disagree. That's a nice thing to do. But if that cat is a girl kitty, and if she hasn't been fixed, in fact, you're actually making the problem a little bit worse because a healthier cat has more kittens. So I know that's a tough message to deliver. I want you to help that cat. And if the cat's thriving and healthy outside, let the cat be a community cat. Just make sure that cat is spay-neutered.
You know, you are personally responsible for all sorts of campaigns. Congratulations, by the way. The most recent has to do, and by the way, these campaigns have made a difference. And the most recent is all about a cat named Scooter, the neutered cat.
Scooter, the neutered cat.
And the great thing about your website is you have a sense of humor about it as well. But the idea is to get people to watch.
Well, it is. And if you don't mind, I'll step back and explain how we got to Scooter, the neutered cat with hip spectacles, no testicles. That's
where
who Scooter
is. Where do you
think
of these lines?
We have really clever people that make these up. But the short story is that by day, Steve, I manage money for wealthy people. That's what I do by day. And I had a super wealthy client who died young and left $100 million in the care of me and my bank.
Wow.
I've had the pleasure of managing this private foundation for the last decade or so. And I'm sure you know, in the world of private foundations, we have a fiduciary responsibility to be wise about how we spend money, and a mandate per the IRS that we must spend a certain amount of money every year. So here we are, cat lovers all, but we're bankers. And we decided, okay, well, we have to do this. So I have a team of people who are bankers who work with me. And we looked at it as a business problem. So we had very fresh eyes around a decade ago and said, okay, what's the problem we're trying to solve for here? The foundation document said, my client wanted to take care of cats in Cincinnati. Well, that's a really specific thing to do. And we knew that it was going to be really hard to spend the amount of money we needed to spend on such a specific thing and be wise. So we took it a little bit further. Okay, again, what's the problem? Cats are being killed in shelters. Why? Well, there's a lot I can say about that. But because we came into the animal welfare field fresh as business people, we really took a little bit of a different look at it and decided, and I've got a bunch of puns, that we would go after the low-hanging fruit. Get it?
Yeah, I do.
You do get it.
I do.
Low-hanging fruit we thought was spay-neuter, that would make the biggest impact the fastest. And when we started our work in the Cincinnati area, the live release rate was about 32%. And that data was tracked on yellow sticky notes. So I'm not even sure what it was. Yeah, you know, this was...
It was more or less that.
But bad. Yeah. Abysmal.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were far more cats dying in these shelters locally. Did anybody around the area know about it? No. These were very old school shelters. So we have funded a lot of shelter programs. But we also decided that if we don't change the behavior of the people, the humans that created the problem, that we're never going to get out of it, and we'll just be chasing our tails until the end of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen a difference? Because
sure.
You are about data, so tell me.
It's all about data. We have had a sustainable high 90% live release rate in our area for a few years now. I'll tell you, though, the biggest thing are these community cat programs, and that's what we were talking about. Cats can be healthy and live their lives outside. They just have to be fixed. Our live release rate within a couple of years went to 30 to 80%. And this happens all over the country for any shelter that makes the decision to engage in community cat programs. Now, sometimes you have to do some work with the laws, the regulations in the communities. Great.
We did that in Chicago.
You are famous for doing that in Chicago, famous for doing that.
But it made a difference.
Huge difference.
And now, by changing the laws, what we did is to encourage people to do exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
To say, okay, these cats, they're okay outside. If they're doing okay outside, and there's only one caveat. Actually, two. They need to be spay-neutered, but also vaccinated for rabies.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, when they come in to be fixed, the protocol is to give them actually usually all of the shots and a chip, a microchip. Just so from a data standpoint, we always know if the cat comes back to the shelter kind of where they were from. If possible, we'd love to get them in for more rabies shots, but that's a minimum, absolutely, when they're fixed.
And I very much agree with everything you just said. Are there misconceptions about cats that are outdoors that the general public still has?
Well, there are the bird people, and sure, there's...
So at some point in time... not all that long ago, and I did a chapter in a book about this, the Audubon Society came up, and I think it was them, with numbers of birds that were presumably, and I love birds, that were presumably killed by cats. And it was in the billions. I forget what that number was. And we looked up how many birds are likely in America. So that would mean that cats are killing literally 99% of all birds. You look out the window, you would never see a bird again, if that was true. So it's clearly untrue. Do cats kill birds? Yes. But not as often. You know, studies show cats kill what they can catch. Mm-hmm. And cats do not fly. So yes, Cats are a danger to some birds, shorebirds, etc. And in those areas, I don't want community cats. In those very specific areas with endangered birds. Having said that, catching what they can catch, we are talking primarily rodents. That's most of what their diet is. And one study in Georgia even demonstrated what cats eat there in that specific place. Lizards, mostly lizards. Now, I love lizards. I don't want that to happen, but it's not birds. So there are a lot of misconceptions, I think, about these cats. And they've been around with human beings for thousands of years. Again, I want them indoors. I think the cats are, let me rephrase that. I know they are safer indoors. They're going to live longer, healthier lives indoors only. And I want them to be, they need to be spay-neutered. I go with all of that. But having said that, how, have you been to Italy or Greece?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, cats are just
everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
And I'm not saying that's good, but I'm also saying they're a part of the culture in these places.
I was going to say it's cultural. You know, aside from the birders, I think that Americans, we culturally look at this and hypocritically say, this is our responsibility. They shouldn't be outside. They should be inside. And yet at the same time, well, I don't want to get involved. So make a decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree with you. Cats live longer lives under the care of humans. No question. But I would rather see a healthy cat be fixed, vaccinated for rabies, and outdoors in a neighborhood environment, say, than in a shelter. So my aim is to keep cats from being killed in the United States in shelters. Now, in other parts of the world, they don't feel that way culturally. They don't want to interrupt a natural ecosystem. And that's sort of beyond the scope of our work here right now.
Right now, she says.
Right now.
So right now, it's America, next the world.
Next the world.
Deborah Cribbs, you do amazing work. Thank you so much. When I heard you were going to be in town, I wanted to do this special petcast because you are special. And the work you do is special because you're changing the way people think about cats. And also, people at this point in time, I think your timing is perfect. Because, or let me say that again, is perfect.
Perfect.
It really is, because I think that younger people specifically are intent on wanting to care for cats in a way that is different than it was 15 years ago.
And I think that's true.
Yeah. And cats are getting adopted out of shelters more than dogs in most places in America.
Cats rule America now. They really do. I mean, if you think about the internet, cats break the internet routinely, right?
True.
People really love cats. And I've seen some surveys where cats are starting to nudge dogs out as the favorite household partner. But again, my goal is that no cat or frankly dog is killed in a shelter for space.
Well, I hope to be talking to you again and again and again. Deborah, thank you for all the work you do. Give Them 10. What's the website?
GiveThem10.org.
Easy enough to remember. By the way, 10 is spelled out for the website, GiveThem10.org. Deborah, thank you so much.
Thank you.